and breathe again. I trust all is well. Even if I have to scream, all is well. So let that breath go in and let it go up. Up to the highest part of your being. Here in Unity, we like to call that highest part of our being the top of our consciousness, the Christ mind. And that Christ mind does not represent a person. It is my awakened self. It is that within me which is aligned with the truth of my being, that I am good. I have always been good, and I will always be good. In God, I cannot not be good. And I think of the one on my left, and I think of the one on my right, and I realize they cannot not be good. For they are good. In God, all beings are good. And that is where I'm placing my trust. And that is how I know all is well. So keep breathing and let this breath go through your whole body. Let it touch every cell, every tissue, every fiber of your being, from head to toe and toe to head. Because I know what is from the top of my being, I know all is well. I know all is well. Let's take that thought into the silence. And let it affect all of your internal being. I know all is well. Let's go on in. I know. God is knowledge. I know. I know to the depths of my being that in reality, in truth, in that which does not change, in love, all is well. And so I can relax into this day with my life exactly as it is. Because I don't know how it is. I just know it is well. So knowing that, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called Unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. Yay. It's funny, my talk is called it, I Ain't Down Yet. What an amazing coincidence. Good morning, I'm Reverend Sean Moninger, and I get to serve here as one of the ministers.
Great job.
It's nice. I have to say, if you knew me when, you'd laugh that I get to do that. But the talk today, I Ain't Down Yet. It's always been one of my favorite songs from the unsinkable Molly Brown. Because I fear if I've got a body, I can still have hope. I can still place my faith in what I want instead of what I don't want. And that's what faith is, in case you don't know. Faith is what you're saying yes to. Today's talk is about faith. And if you want to know what you're saying yes to, look at your life. Or better yet, look at how you see your life. Because we often misjudge our life. Because it's inconvenient, because it's uncomfortable, because it's this or that. We misjudge it, or because I like it. Oh, if I like it, it must be good. And if I don't like it, it must be something else. And that's funny. I was listening to Reverend Dr. Mary Tompkin. I don't know how many of you remember Mary. She was part of Johnny Coleman's organization, and she had a church down in Florida. But Mary was saying that she's no longer with us on this planet, at least not in the physical form, but she's here with us in message and spirit. And I like something she said. She said, prosperity or wealth is an abundance consciousness. And poverty is a lack consciousness. And that wealth and poverty are both states of mind. They're not states of a physicality. They're states of mind. I'm judging. I have opinions. Anybody else? Opinions, anybody? Okay, I'm not alone here. And I'm just filled with opinions. And for some odd reason, I feel the need to express them every chance I get. With anybody who I could trap into a room to listen to me espouse my opinions, because I think my opinions are important, even though they're often inaccurate. Even though but the problem is, as I'm expressing these opinions, I'm planting my faculty of faith in the wrong direction. Because as long as I'm telling you what I think it is, I'm not asking spirit within me what it is. As long as I'm busy in the car telling myself and the other drivers who can't hear me what everything is, I'm not asking. I'm not going within and asking spirit within what it is. So I'm rooting my faith in something inaccurate. I'm rooting my faith in what I like or what I don't like, rather than asking, what is this? Because if I continue to ask, wanting to know, chances are I'm going to like a lot more. I'm going to like a lot more of life than I had previously liked. And wouldn't you like to like just everything in life? Wouldn't you like to feel secure that everything taking place is for the highest good that we can possibly accept in this moment? You know, so no matter what you're thinking about or who you're thinking about, be it in your house, be it in your television sets, in your computer screen, on your Facebook page, in your church, wherever it is, to come to terms with, wait a minute, if God is for me, who here believes that God is for you? Who here thinks God is against you? Oh, I'm so glad. Well, that's a big relief. I didn't see every hand go up on the, I think God is for me, but at least it's a, God hates me. That's why I'm here today. Because here's the thing. God is principle. God is not person to decide whether or not to be for you. God is principle, and principle has to be for us. Principle could not possibly be against us. Divine law could not possibly be against us. And yet I will place my faith faculty in a spot in my thinking that tells me this wants to hurt me. This is out to get me. This is coming to, you know, I'll use my body. I'll use my money. I'll use my spouse. I will use traffic. I will use Facebook. I will use the 6 o'clock news. 10-10 wins, I could do it all day long. Decide what 24/7, decide what's for me, what's against me. But what if we decided now? Because I ain't down yet. I haven't yet fully convinced myself that life is awful. I haven't given up hope yet. And that's what it means by I ain't down yet. And so to look at it and say, wait a minute, I can think a prosperous existence. I don't know if I'll get more cash from that, but I will live prosperously. And I think that's What we're looking to do is live prosperously. We're looking to live confidently, which is a form of prosperity. We're looking to live in the assurance that we are loved with an everlasting love and could not be loved. Anybody? Yeah. Agree with me? Yay. Just want to make it sure. And so to begin to look at that, wait a minute, this is what I want. This is what I truly want. And I'm not down on the floor yet. I've gotten to my knees, but I've not collapsed yet fully where I could not get back up. To experience some of the greatness of life, to experience so many things. Have you ever seen people who experience things that you have no idea how you could ever experience them? And maybe you'd like to. Have you ever seen anybody who could, maybe you don't rollerblade, and you see somebody who rollerblades, and you think, boy, I'd like to do that. Boy, I would like to rollerblade. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. I remember when I wanted to rollerblade. It was a lot of years ago. I don't do it so much anymore. I don't feel as confident now, but I wanted to rollerblade. It was around 1995, I think. No, it was around 1994. It doesn't matter. 1994, and I really want to rollerblade. And I had bought a cheap pair of blades, and I went out a couple of times, and I did not feel confident at all in those things, and it fell down. And then I thought, but I still want to do this. I see people. And I saw, it was a picture in the paper of JFK Jr. and Daryl Hannah in the park, rollerblading. And I thought, you know, he's not worried if anybody sees him fall down. Who knows me? So I have no one to be embarrassed in front of. Because that was my concern about rollerblading in public, is I'll be so embarrassed if I fall down. And I gotta tell you, I rollerbladed all over the city. Rarely did I ever run into anybody I knew. So I went out and bought a good pair of blades, and I went down by the pier on 12th Avenue, 44th Street, and there was a railing there, and I just went back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, till I felt safe to let go of the railing. And then I went back and forth, and back and forth, just a few blocks, without holding on. So I thought, what the heck, let's try going all the way home, which was about three blocks. And I did, and I didn't fall down, and I felt pretty confident. And I was starting a volunteer gig at 27th Street the next day, so I thought, let's go down to 27th Street from 44th. And I went beautifully. And so what I learned was to go forward really well on rollerblades. I had no desire to do tricks. I had no desire to get in the park and span the steps by the big fountain there. I had friends who do that, you know, they jump and they go backwards down those steps. That didn't interest me. Mobility interested me. That was what I wanted. And so I could have what I wanted, and I did it in not many clothes. And let me tell you, so I figured, well, what the heck, I'm going fast. It looks better, and with a tan, it always looks better moving quickly and with a tan. Truth is, I've never looked as bad as I thought maybe I did. I don't like the word bad. I've never looked as inefficient as I've been afraid. Maybe I do now, and we're not going to find it out. I'm not going to give you a demonstration right now. But, so I wanted to rollerblade, and so I did. There have been many things I've wanted to do that I have done. Have you guys done many of the things you wanted to do, and then did them and found out, oh, if I can do this, well, I can try something else. That's your power of faith saying yes. David does an exercise at our summer retreat. It's actually a class. Some of you have taken many of his thought exchange classes here. But for 3 days in our summer retreat, he does a musical thought exchange where people get up who have never sung in their lives. I may have talked about this last month. There was one guy on our retreat who was hit by his nuns when he was 5 years old and told never to sing. I know adults. Adult children can be mean. He got up at our retreat and he sang "You Are My Sunshine" on pitch within 5 minutes of working with David. Because he wanted to. Because he had faith. He saw these other people walking. you know, or walking, singing. And my office assistant in Connecticut, Gloria, got up, who, terrified of singing. And she started singing, she wanted to sing to her husband, it was their anniversary. And she started, "L is for the way you look at me, O is for," and she's singing like this. By her third time through, suddenly it became, "L is for the way you," she's doing a big jazz arrangement of, seriously, her third time through, because she was saying, "Yes, I can. Yes, I can." I've told you about when we did the fire walk at Edwin Gaines. And I was with Britt and Lewis. The first year was Britt and Lewis, this year was just Britt and my friend Russell. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to do this fire walk. I was praying on it. I didn't hear I'm not supposed to. And Edwin says, when you get up to the path of the hot coals, hot burning, fiery coals, and they were, ask, "Can I walk on fire and not get burned?" Okay. I'm walking around and I'm afraid to ask. I'm walking around. The grass actually hurt worse than the coals. But I watched Lewis do it. Walks right across it, son of a gun. And then I see Britt do it. Son of a gun, I guess I can do it too. I get up there and I get right there and I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to face the embarrassment. Tiptoeing away, I can't do it, I can't do it. And I looked at Edwin. She said, "You can do it," and that was enough for me. And I walked right across, and I did not get burned. And so what I learned, and then I watched Britt and Lewis do it again. So I thought, well, I guess I could do it a second time. And I thought, why do it a third time? Because Britt and Lewis did it a third time. And I thought, now I'm just trying to prove a point. And there was no reason to, other than ego, to walk the third time. I knew I could do it. And what I love about Edwin, she tells you, after you've walked, don't look at your feet till tomorrow morning. Because she had seen someone, after she walked, say, "I can't believe it happened," and suddenly the blisters came out. And so I listened both years. I did not look at my feet till the next day. Because this year I felt a little something on my heel as I walked across the second time. I thought, don't look, don't look. And everything was fine the next day. Everything was great the next day. I wanted to know what it felt like to walk on fire. I've walked on emotional fire many times in my life. Anybody who's quit smoking knows that. You know, anybody that has healed from a relationship knows what it's like to walk on emotional fire. Anybody who has taken a prosperity class knows what it's like to walk on financial fire. Anybody who's taken a risk of an investment of some sort, an investment of themselves, an investment of their energy, their time, anybody who's ever experienced forgiveness knows what it's like to walk on emotional fire. Because the thing about experiencing forgiveness is you are suddenly have a vacuum. You are giving up a piece of security, something you knew to the depths of your being. You had been betrayed, this was wrong, and you could be confident in that. And to suddenly become willing to ask Spirit, God, whatever you call it, what is this really about? And to release all attachment to wanting a better past in this situation, in this event with this person. To stop asking for a different past, but to realize, okay, there's something more here that I am seeing, and I want to be free of whatever that was. I'm willing to take this chunk of my assurance, this chunk of my confidence, and throw it away. Throw it into the ocean like we do the mountain and realize, oh my gosh, I don't need that anymore. I have replaced this with love. I have replaced this by saying yes to the aspect of faith that it is better to be free from this than to be right about it. One of my favorite new things David, he heard somewhere and he passed it along to me is, "I would agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong." Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? And we don't want to. It's not about being right or wrong. We want to be at peace. We want to be assured our good is here right now. Now, the only way to do that is to pick ourselves up, because we ain't down yet. When Sarah said, I want to learn to read and write. Imagine that Molly Brown did not know how to read or write. And this character, Molly Brown, and so she said, I want to learn to read and write. And so, how do I do that? Well, I go to somebody who can teach me. Because I know myself, if I picked up a book of foreign language, I could stare at that book all day long and have no idea. I'm going to Italy. I want to learn to speak and read Italian. I can open an Italian book and still not have any idea. I've got to have somebody tell me what this means and then practice it. And then gradually it sinks into my system and I begin to have a clue about what that is about. I didn't, when I was 10 years old, I didn't know how to drive a car. Well, by 11, I did. To the upset of my family. I wanted to drive as a kid. I thought that would be fun and freeing from the bondage of my family. And so in sixth grade, I watched, okay, they turn the ignition, they put the foot on the brake and everything, they steer this way. So I would start by sneaking out and just turning on the car. And then I would, you know, back up a little bit and then push it forward. And by seventh grade, I'm driving around town, smoking cigarettes. I go to where my mother worked, and I do not recommend your children try this. This is my story and my pathway. But I said, yes, I can drive. And I really didn't understand why my family was upset. At either the cigarettes or the driving, but you see, I wanted to try this. A few years ago, I wanted to sing in public. I really wanted to at the Unity of New York retreats years ago. Paul had David do a couple of singing workshops, and the first year I wrote a song called "Big Honkin' Love Song," and yeah, it was a good one, wasn't it? And I got up in front of everybody and I sang. In front of everybody, having no idea what I would sound like. Because I just hadn't sung since sixth grade, really. And I got big laughs. I don't know why, I still don't know what I sang like, but at least I got big laughs for the right reasons. And then the next year, I wanted to write something more sincere. And I ended up with my opus, The Cookie Song. And again, but that one I knew I was on pitch for. And so I stuck with the Cookie Song for a few years for events, special events and things. And then one year at our own retreat in Connecticut, I wanted to sing a real song. You know, something somebody else had written that was real. And I looked for the one that I felt best suited me, and it was called I've Gotta Be Me. And I went to Kenneth, our music director, Kenneth Gartman, and I said, work this through with me and be honest with me. Because if it's awful, I won't do it. And I sang it through once, and he said, they're going to cry when you do this, for the right reasons. And so I worked on it, and I recorded it for months, you know, so I could know, videotape myself. And it turns out, I thought, oh, listen to me, I've got notes there, I've got range, I've got, okay, I can do this. And it was great, people did cry. So then I thought, I want to learn a David Friedman song. Mm. And I did. It was a whole year later, and I learned We Live on Borrowed Time. And that became the closer for my act. And I wanted to do an act. How about that? And you might say, oh, it's all ego. He just wants to be out there. Whatever. It's my passion. You know, we're starting a class on Tuesday night about Edwin Gaines. It's going to be part two. It's called The Prosperity. What is it? It's called The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And the first one is tithing. Tithing is required in it, much to the consternation of a couple of individuals. I've got one person so mad at me from last February because he thinks tithing should not be mandatory. And what I say is, if you're taking a diving class, you'd be expected to dive. taking a writing class, you'd be expected. And for 6 weeks, you are expected to tithe 10% of your income in that class. But the second law, forgiveness. Forgiveness is an essential part of, what do you call it? Forgiveness is the second law, because how can you, well, tithing is forgiveness of money, but then you got to let go of the things that are blocking your prosperity that tell you you cannot prosper. But then we get to the third and fourth law, and they're a little daunting. One is setting goals. Goal setting, well, I don't know what I want. Well, if you take this class, you will find out what you want. I'm good at that. And then we get to finding your purpose. And that really throws a lot of us. So what is my purpose? I don't know. And I will tell you, you go within. And you ask Holy Spirit, what is my purpose? What is it? What is my passion? What do I have an inkling to do? We get it on paper and we write it down. But within those four spiritual laws, there's freedom. Because, again, prosperity is not just about cash. Prosperity is about the freedom to live. And it is the freedom to trust that there is a power greater than yourself that is informing you all the time. Now, when Jesus, according to the Bible, was leaving, he said, I will send you a comforter. Now, the comforter to me was, I understand it, is what is called the Holy Spirit. The comforter to me is that voice within me. It is that voice within that guides me, that lifts me up when I think I've fallen, lifts me up when I think I'm down, because it tells me the truth about myself. It tells me the truth about everybody else. It tells me the truth about the situation. It never, ever scolds me. It never, ever tells me, you should have known better, Sean. It never calls me a name. It never criticizes me. It just guides. It tells me my options. It tells me the truth about myself. And it tells me all the things that don't matter that I think do. All those illusions I have about the weather, about driving conditions, about you and me. It lets me know that my thoughts about these things don't matter nearly so much as my experience. It lets me know to continue to seek true thoughts instead of limited thoughts. It just lets me know. I'm going to read a little something here to you. This comes from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And it comes from the book of Matthew, chapter. I do this. Oh, here we go. You know, some days you look at things and think, I will never forget. And then other days you look at this and suddenly it's a whole new book. It's like, I say, oh, there it is. You must look at your faith. It's at the top of the page. Why would it be there? You must look at your faith and see where you are placing it before you can choose to place it with me. Many believe they have placed their faith in God, when truly they have placed their faith in men and in the world. Truly I say to you, look at your faith honestly. In what do you believe? In what do you trust? And if it is not placed firmly with me in all things, are you willing to choose again? Would you consider that you have a voice within you that loves you and cannot not love you? It also loves your neighbor. It's not going to tell you any political candidate is not worthy of the kingdom. I'm clear on this. It's not going to tell you that your parents are not worthy of the kingdom. It's not going to tell you that any being should be left out of the kingdom. It's not going to tell you to have lunch with these people either. It's going to tell you that you cannot be truly free in spirit, mind, and body until you allow these people to be loved by spirit. It is not going to let you be free until you allow yourself to be loved in spirit. It is not going to set you free if you won't accept freedom. It's not punishing. It's just guiding. And we can keep saying, well, I'm not ready yet. Well, I'm not ready yet. Oh, I'm just not ready for that yet. At what point do you stop living life to the fullest, or start living life to the fullest? At what point do you say yes to life, yes to joy, yes to freedom, yes to rollerblading, yes to a nice lunch with yourself or with somebody else? At what point do you say yes to a nice vacation? At what point do you say yes to a good book? At what point do you say yes to sitting down and putting your feet up? At what point do you say yes to a relationship and all of the work that is involved in a relationship? At what point do you stick it out to see the love? At what point do you admit, I am loved with an everlasting love? I know all these points don't apply to every single individual here, but what is your pocket? What is your individual pocket where you're not yet ready to live life fully, freely, confidently, joyfully, in so much fun it's like play? What does Edwin define prosperity as? Relationships that work all the time. Work that is so much fun, it's like play. A healthy body to house this God being that I am. And all the cash that I can spend. What is your definition of prosperity? And are you ready to accept it? Are you ready to live in it? Are you ready to just live it up? We have so much fun. Because you ain't down yet. I ain't down yet. I keep looking for the next thing that I think will give me a great experience. The next, sometimes risk for me. Because remember, what's a risk for me is so easy for some of you. And vice versa. There are those of you out there that could take a motorcycle apart and put it back together easier than you could get up here and give a talk. And there are some of us who are so ready and willing to forgive everybody and everything and make way for all the love. And there are some of us who can take a motorcycle apart and put it back together before they will do that. There are some of us that will learn how to tap dance before we will forgive. There are some of us who will hide in our apartment and stay safe with our own thoughts before we would get out and forgive a brand new experience. There are some of us who will criticize and criticize and criticize, especially a church, before we will say, God, tell me how to love this experience. God, tell me how to love this guy on stage. Tell me how to love tithing, giving, exchanging. Tell me how to love the person in front of me and behind me and beside me and across the aisle from me. Tell me how to love all beings at lunch, even the ones with screaming children. Tell me how to love my money in whatever amount I have it in. Tell me how to love my feet. Tell me how to love my knees. Tell me how to love my whole body, my face, and my head with this beautiful shine. Tell me how to love God. I'm listening, because I'm ready to live it up. So it is. Ooh.